What a joy it is to be back at Cornerstone. As Bob said, I was blessed to serve here for 2 years as the pastor of family ministries. It's an honor to be invited to participate in tonight's service. I first met Brian and Dawn at Lake End Camp in 2005, and we spoke about his love for children and his ultimate desire to be a children's pastor. In fact, if I remember the conversation right, it went something like this. So do you see yourself teaching the rest of your life, sixth grade? He said, no. I said, what would you like to do? He said, I want your job. I said, really? I said, well, there's a thing called job security, so I'm not going to say anything to Bob for a while. But as God led us back into a pulpit ministry, it was a joy to recommend Brian, and it's a joy to have watched his ministry over the years and how God has blessed his ministry. Your attendance tonight is a wonderful tribute of your love and respect for him. And it's an honor to call Brian my friend. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And as you turn, let me just make several personal comments. First, I would appreciate your prayers regarding my right knee. I appreciate Bob having the pulpit down here. I'm walking with a cane. From indications of the doctor, I have a torn meniscus, and it's been quite painful. Medication is wonderful. And so I want to make a disclaimer tonight. If I say anything that's heretical, it's due to the medication. The doctor told me I was not to drive on this medication. She did not say I couldn't preach. Secondly, just want to say that our daughter, Stephanie, was just married. Just a kind of a family update. Many of you know Stephanie. Benjamin Bolthouse married her just this last month, December the 14th. And so that's a new addition to our family. And then I just want to give a warm greeting from your sister church, Holt Baptist Church, just south of Lansing, where we serve. Having been here at Cornerstone on staff, I can say that Cornerstone's influence is witnessed at Holt. And so you have a part in our ministry there. I've been asked to bring a charge to you tonight, the church family. Tonight we're formally setting Brian aside for pastoral ministry. What is your responsibility towards Brian as one of your pastors? Did you hear of the young minister who had just resigned from his first church to take another pastorate? And after he had resigned and after the church service, an elderly lady came up to him and she said, "Our next pastor won't be as good as you." Smiling with gratitude, he assured her the next pastor would be just fine, if not better. And she said, "Oh no, I've been a member of this church for 60 years and each pastor gets worse." That's probably not how to treat your pastor. So what does the Bible say about how to treat a pastor? Well, look at our text, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and in teaching." So, number one, you must honor your pastor. We all know that the term elder, as Bob has already alluded to, is synonymous with pastor, bishop, overseer. And Paul here says that we are to give them double honor, meaning twofold honor. It speaks of a verbal affirmation. Pastors are human. They get discouraged. No, they don't need insincere flattery, but they could use godly encouragement. Pastors face wayward sheep and deal with broken lives. They hear negative criticism. Scripture speaks of how our words can be used to encourage, to edify, to lift up. And so I would encourage you, I would exhort you to tell Brian specifically how his ministry has been a blessing to you. But the word honor goes beyond affirmation to compensation. Think of the word honorarium, give him honor. That's Paul's driving point here. Look at verse 18. He says, "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages." Paul quotes two verses for support, Deuteronomy 25:4, Luke chapter 10, verse 7. Now, not all elders are compensated for their work. Some work secular jobs, but it's biblical to support the vocational elder and those who are especially gifted at what they do. Now, Brian did not enter ministry to get rich. He doesn't have anything to do with his salary. And it's a great blessing to be able to pursue ministry without the pressure of working a secular job. Amen. Tragically, that's not always the case. There are some churches whose motto is, "God, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor." But the church is admonished to pay their pastors a livable salary. Honor goes one step further. We must protect Brian from false allegations. Look at verse 19. "Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses." A fruitful ministry is dependent upon a pastor's integrity. Reputations can be ruined by gossip. Any accusation must be substantiated by witnesses. And Paul goes on to discuss how to deal with a sinning elder, but that's not our point here tonight. What can you do to protect your pastors, to protect Brian? First, refuse to listen to gossip. You just refuse to listen to it. You stop it by saying, "That's gossip. I don't want to hear it." Secondly, resolve conflicts biblically. If someone has a beef with Brian, then have them see Brian, according to Matthew 18. Insist that they do. Follow up that they do. Remember the four G's from the peacemaker. Glorify God. Get the log out of your own eye. Gently restore. Go and be reconciled. All fueled by the gospel. Turn a few pages over to Hebrews chapter 13. What is your responsibility towards Brian? He must be honored. In your words, in your compensation, in his defense. But there's another charge in regard to pastors. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." First, we must honor our pastors. Secondly, we must obey our pastors. Now, we understand that this is not an unqualified, blind obedience demanded by a cult leader. We must never violate our conscience. But certainly, this verse has been distorted. It's been abused by dictatorial or authoritarian pastors. Jesus endorsed what we call a servant style of leadership. He rebuked the pagan mindset that pastors or leaders are dictators. But nonetheless, this verse is a call to obey God-ordained, gospel-centered, Christ-gifted, Spirit-led leadership. And we live in a culture that gags on this. It mocks leadership. It questions leadership. there's a spirit of defiance that has crept into the American church. No one's going to tell me what to do. And such an attitude is not only detrimental to the church, it's a sin against God. And according to this text, it's a grief to pastors. As one of your pastors, Brian cares for you. He cares for your spiritual well-being. Look at the text again. Look at it. It says, he watches over your soul. Believe me, watching over souls is not something he only does during his office hours. Sheep need constant care, and one day he will give an account for his ministry. Now, anyone mesmerized by the lights and glamour of ministry need to understand an important truth. Sheep bite. When church members fail to submit to godly leadership, it's a burden. The author here says it's filled with sighs and groanings. It is your responsibility to help Brian serve with joy. How can you do that? By obeying him. By submitting to him. The Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. So we must obey our pastors, and we must honor our pastors. Look at verse 18 here. The writer says, pray for us. Thirdly, we should pray for our pastors. Brian, as well as all the pastors on the staff here, should be on your prayer list. The Greek emphasizes the present tense. Keep on praying. Prayer fulfills God's will. Yes, God has ordained the end, but he has ordained the means to the end, and that involves prayer. Brian needs your prayers. Pray for his daily schedule. Ask God to protect him from temptation. Pray for wisdom in his counseling. Ask God to bless his marriage, to be a loving husband and a godly dad. Pray for him. Cornerstone Baptist Church has been blessed with a number of godly pastors. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of serving with some of them. Brian is now part of that pastoral team. The church is called to highly esteem him, as well as all the pastors. And we do this out of obedience to the scriptures and our love for Christ, so that the church can reflect God's glory in a dying world. Let's pray. Loving and gracious Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Help this congregation to honor, obey, and pray for their pastors. May this church continue to be a beacon in the dark world around them. Thank you for the call of Brian Brough, for his salvation, for his gifts and abilities, for his precious wife and loving family. Protect them. Continue to use Brian in this ministry here. For your glory, we pray. Amen.